Revenue Chat episode 172. Hey, check out my other great interviews at tonydurso.com/radio, or using your Android or iPhone, get the app at tonydurso.com/mobile. That's tonydurso.com/radio/mobile.
This is Revenue Chat Radio with your host, Tony D'Urso, interviewing successful entrepreneurs and giving you actionable advice and insights. Let's rev it up.
Welcome, I'm your host, Tony D'Urso. With two high-profile and high-volume talk shows, I'm doing what you would expect. That's right, I'm combining them into one great show. Can you pardon my dust while I expand? The new show is called The Tony D'Urso Show. I will continue to broadcast every Friday at 1 p.m. on Voice America's Influencers channel. And you will continue to find the show published every Friday on iTunes, on the mobile app, and everywhere you're listening to my shows now. And despite a few changes, hey, it's still me, Tony, and you continue to hear from successful entrepreneurs who tell us how they made it to the top in their field. You'll also hear from celebrities, VIPs, and game changers. The new show is 1 hour in length, and you get two great interviews instead of one. How about that? Now, the music of the spotlight will be the main music for the new show. Yeah, I know, you'll miss the Revenue Chat music, which I wrote and produced myself, but there's good news there. My new TV show, the Tony D'Urso TV Show, will play that familiar music, and you'll catch this live on Mondays on Facebook, YouTube, and throughout social media. That's going to start soon. Please stay tuned for that announcement. I appreciate you as a great, engaging audience, and I do hope you understand this consolidation as I am expanding tremendously. The summary? Continue to listen to my shows just as you normally do, the way you normally do. The music has changed, and the show is 1 hour instead of a half hour. Not too bad, right? And there's a new TV show, which I'll tell you more about in the future. All right so far? Thanks again for being a great audience. I love your feedback and welcome your comments as always. All right, revenue crew, let's rev it up. Here we go. Today, we set the stage for Revenue Chat with V. Lakshman, award-winning author of Mythborn. And here's some facts about him. He grew up in Bangkok, Thailand, where he first discovered his love of the martial arts, mythological heroes, and exotic lands, all of which influenced the development of characters and the world in his debut fantasy series, Mythborn, Fate of the Sovereign. Mythborn Media is a division of Dawn's Light Media and is in negotiations for a motion picture film series. Production is to begin later this year with a release sometime in 2019. It's so great to have you on my show, VJ. Welcome to Revenue Chat.
Thank you, Tony. I'm really happy to be here.
Thank you, and the honor is mine. We have so much in common. You're a multi-author. You're an award-winning author. You're a martial artist. You've done so much. It is really my honor, and I can't wait to share your information with my audience. And I think the first thing we'd like to know, please, how did it all start for you? What's your backstory?
I won't start as far back as where I was born and all that. Unless you find that later to be interesting, but in all honesty, I was on my way to medical school, and you know, I had finished undergrad. I was taking that break in between, and I had applied to a video game company called Bethesda Softworks, and lo and behold, they answered this single moment in life where my mother told me all those years I would be wasting playing D&D would never help, absolutely helped me. Got me the job. I got hired as a producer, and one of the first games I made for them was The Elder Scrolls arena, and that ended up getting RPG of the year, then game of the year, and then became the launch of one of the most successful role-playing game franchises in the world today, which has spawned, I think, 7 sequels, and it is one of the, you know, quintessential Hall of Fame role-playing games that are out there, and I'm happy to have been, you know, in a small way, you know, there at the birth of it, and, you know, still an avid fan of it.
You know, I understand that game is played by hundreds of millions of people. I mean, that is intense.
Yeah. And, you know, it interestingly launched my video game career and also ended my career as a doctor before it started. And and I ended up becoming a video game designer and producer for the next 30 years. I had the honor of working at some of the best studios that are out there. I ultimately ended up chairing or spearheading development for Vivendi Universal in L.A. I think you and I share living in L.A. together for, you know, at the in our histories, and I mean share living in the same place. You know, and had the chance to launch over 85 video game titles. Those titles have done, you know, well over $1 billion in lifetime sales. If you look at what games sort of are quintessential out there, I've had a chance to work on some great ones: Crash Bandicoot, Spyro the Dragon, Lord of the Rings. You know, we mentioned Elder Scrolls. I've been in the business for 30 years, and I've enjoyed every single moment of it. I just loved it, and it is what birthed my writing career, because you have to be able to write and write clearly to be a video game developer.
That is very exciting. There's so much to talk about. But one thing I do not want to forget or miss, we're going to talk about it now. You know, I understand and I know you have a love for martial arts. You've done a lot. And do I understand this right, VJ? You've spent thousands of hours in combat fighting with opponents all over the world?
Yeah.
VJ, so VJ, you're a video gaming yourself.
You know, what's interesting is, I grew up in Bangkok, Thailand, and was surrounded by Muay Thai and different kinds of martial arts that are prevalent all through Southeast Asia. When we came to the United States, I came here right at the tail end of, believe it or not, the desegregation of schools. When I got here, desegregation had been, I think Virginia was the last state to desegregate schools, and they did it sometime in like 1968 or 69, and we moved here in 1973 or 74. So it was still, the teachers in the schools still remembered times when these were segregated classes. And people were very, you know, I mean, it was a very divided nation, you know. And then the Iranian oil crisis was looming over us, and I looked brown. And I don't think people differentiated between Iranian and Indian or even cared. And
oh,
so,
no.
And so
now I understand why you're talking about thousands of hours of fighting. No, I'm just joking.
but ultimately what ended up happening was, you know, my mom kept saying, turn the other cheek. I kept getting beaten up coming home from school. I was, you know, under 10 years old. And my dad finally said, enough, you know, enough is enough. He, had noticed people training in the martial arts in the back loading dock of the hospital where he worked. I said before, he's a doctor, and he noticed these guys at lunch break, they would be training in the back doing forms. So he went out there and asked one of them if, you know, they would consider training his son, and they said, well, bring him by this school under the direction of Grandmaster Manny Agrella. And it turns out, just by luck for me, Grandmaster Agrella is one of the renowned martial artists of the world and one of the best trainers of black belts. His black belts have a consistent, you know, rank in all competitions in terms of their prowess in combat, in kata, and in weapons. And he doesn't train kids. I was the only kid in the class. I don't even know why he accepted me, because everyone else, then I was 8 or 9, and the next oldest person was, you know, 18. And there's a huge difference in an 18-year-old and an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old. And but, you know, he took me in anyways, and I started training. And I trained for 35 years, and, you know, I fought everybody. He had me fight everybody all the time. And I grew up basically, you know, living the martial arts. And it has been something that I am so proud of and so happy my father put me in it, and so thankful to Grandmaster Grella for having trained me, you know, to the point where I, you know, could defend myself, but also all the other benefits that come from any kind of athletic training: positivity, sportsmanship, focus, concentration, all those things. I benefited from all of that at a very young age.
That's impressive. And is that karate, shotokan, or kendo, or what is his style?
So his style was called Tonglong Wushuguan. It was a hard style of karate. Grandmaster Grella came up training in Shotokan. He also trained in a Chinese type of hard style under Grandmaster Wing. And he also trained in judo. And so Tonglong was an aggregation of the things that Grandmaster Grella had came up with and, you know, became the thing that ultimately trained us. We were trained in close-in ground fighting. We were trained in kicks. We were trained in punches. We were trained in throws and grappling, chokehold, submission holds, weapons. But we also were trained in how to defend ourselves against those same things. We had real, you know, in-depth knowledge of how to go about being very, very careful in watching our opponents, understanding what they do, and then being able to combat against them using their own techniques or the defenses of their own techniques against them.
Absolutely impressive. And, you know, we're going to talk about martial arts nonstop, so I think we have to take a break and talk about your books.
Oh, sure.
the audience is going like, all right, what about the books? Okay. I can see the correlation. So we've just been leading up to this. Now, what I actually like to do is if you could take us through a summary of the books, tell us about your series, tell us about it, tell us how it started. I'd like to hear the whole thing on that, please.
Sure, you bet. So the log line or the short script is, you know, this is about a young apprentice assassin who finds out that his master has been ordered to kill him in the next 8 days. And he has to figure out how to survive. And book one is actually a countdown starting at 8 days and working itself backwards to day one, where we find out how he actually goes about surviving. That's the short example.
I like that. Okay, a little bit. Now, can we have a little bit more?
You bet. So the inspiration probably was my own instructor. I was convinced he was trying to kill me all the time.
See, there was a reason we were talking martial arts. Now I see it all fits.
No, I'm joking. But you know, the inspiration actually was, I can't stand these fantasy novels that focus on some cackling bad guy in a pointed hat up in a tower blasting everybody who shows up with bad news and just being evil for evil's sake. One of the things I learned in video games is everybody is a hero in their story. Everybody. No villain comes in going, oh, I'm a villain. They think they're a hero doing the right thing for a cause. That cause just may not be what we agree with. Ultimately, what I wanted to do is write a story from the standpoint of every character having a really true, honest-to-God belief they are the hero in their story. And what happens when those characters don't see eye to eye with each other? And I think that's why my books have gotten such good reviews and so much acclaim, because it's really, drama really is in the shades of gray. It's not in the archetypes of, you know, white and black. And so I think that, you know, that's something that I'm pretty proud of in terms of the book.
I like that. I like that a lot. And, you know, it is such an powerful statement, what you've said. It wasn't too long ago that I thought of someone that maybe wasn't operating in the best way I liked. And then I had a little sort of an epiphany that everyone has their own agenda. Everyone believes they're doing the right thing, and everyone has a reason for what they're doing. And I'm not even joking, Vijay. When I realized that, the next time I communicated with that person, it was like an almost whole change of attitude and everything, and the cooperation and everything. It just changed. Now, it was as if it was magic. It was just such a powerful realization when you realize that you know? And I love it because it's not just black and white, good and bad. There's shades and there's reasons.
That's right. And what I wouldn't recommend is cooperating with someone who's trying to kill you.
Yeah. But I agree with that. Don't cooperate. Okay. So kids at home. No, I'm not going to go there. Hey, think of all the things you work hard to provide your family, your home, a college education, your entire lifestyle. How do you make sure all of those things are still possible, even if something unexpectedly happens to you? You know, the old way life insurance used to be a pain. You would deal with an agent who came across like a used car salesman, or schedule blood tests at a doctor's office, and read over paperwork filled with fine print and legalese. Now with Ethos, the application only takes 10 minutes online, with honest, upfront pricing. No doctor's appointment for policies under $1 million. Get your free quote and submit your complete application in just 10 minutes now at revchat.getethos.com. One more time, that's revchat.getethos.com. revchat.getethos.com. Hi, if you're like me, the list of books you want to read or those people suggest you read is never-ending, and it's always expanding. I get so many books from amazing people who want to be on my shows that it's just not possible to read them all. Our sponsor, Blinkist, has solved our long list of must-reads once and for all. Blinkist is the only app that takes thousands of the best-selling nonfiction books and distills them down to their most impactful elements, so you can read or listen to them in under 15 minutes, all on your phone. With Blinkist, you'll expand your knowledge and learn more in just 15 minutes than you can in almost any other way. Plus, you can listen anywhere. I like to listen to Blinkist while I'm driving. Some people like to spend their first 15 minutes of the day listening to something inspirational to get them started for work. How about you? The Blinkist library is massive, from timeless classics like The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People to The 80-20 Principle. My personal recommendation is to check out The 4-Hour Workweek again. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/revenue to start your free 7-day trial. How cool is that? That's Blinkist, spelled Blinkist.com/revenue to start your free 7-day trial. And you can cancel at any time. Blinkist.com/revenue. And we're back with V. Lakshman, award-winning author of Mythborn.
But I think, you know, what is important to me was that was number one. The second thing I was really interested in doing was, all of us have been guilty of this. I think, you know, if you grew up in the 80s, there was a somewhat of a narrow focus on, you know, a male lead, and especially in fantasy, the chainmail bikini clad girl at the feet of Conan looking up at him, and he's defending her, and he's got muscles and a giant sword, and, you know, all that stuff. And I just wanted to change all of that. My books pass what they call the Bechdel test. And the Bechdel test is used with movies to show whether or not women, the female characters, are empowered. And they ask a simple question, and that is, do two women exist in the storyline that have names, that talk to each other, and not about a man? And my book passes that with flying colors. I have so many strong female characters who are literally driving the plot forward, who have complete and utter clarity in what they want to do, who are ruthless when they need to be, and who are smart, and who are also stupid. But they're not smart or stupid based on their gender. They're smart or stupid based on their character, just like the men in the book. And I've been applauded for having these women, these powerful women who are, you know, now changing the way that the typical trope of fantasy works. And I'm excited about that.
I like that. That's very good. Very cool indeed. So you're not typical. And then another thing that I believe you're not typical about is the fighting. Now, yes, I know we spent a long time talking about martial arts, but your series is not just swords and bashing and stuff like that. Can you take us into a little bit of the unique types of fights and fighting combat that you have there?
Absolutely. It's been my experience that on the best day in a combat match, the difference between the guy who won that day and the guy who came in 10th place is literally hundreds of a second. It was who was on and who was off. It wasn't one guy has some secret technique or is just so much better than the other guy. It's that someone made a mistake. Someone wasn't on. Someone wasn't focused. And the fights are over quickly. They're not these long, drawn out. And by the way, I enjoyed the Princess Bride and the long sword fight, but it's not like that. It's not like that, right, in real life. In real life, it goes really fast. And it goes – and people who miss a move or aren't paying attention, they don't have their head on a swivel, they're going to go down. And you see it all the time where trained people are taken out by someone from behind who just – they didn't notice that the guy was there. And so, you know, the fighting in the book really does reflect this kind of knife's edge that you're on. And because I assert it so early in the book, frankly, in the very first few pages – of how quickly you can die, I think the readers find themselves sitting on that knife's edge, you know, worried about every character because they know that if things go down, they're going to go down quick and they're going to go down badly. And just because someone is a master or an expert or whatever doesn't mean they're going to survive. And I think that kind of danger, you know, that's ever present adds a lot of tension to the story. And a small little sidebar, the first time my nose is broken somewhere between 10 and 12 times. The first time it ever got broken, it was by a woman. One of our combat instructors was a female instructor, and I was sparring her for the first time and knocked her down with a leg sweep and then went over to help her up. And off the ground, she flipped herself to her feet and punched me with a back fist and broke my nose. And I remember my instructor looking at me saying, the lesson here is never, ever judge someone based on their gender. They are they're trying to take your life. They're trying to fight you. If you give them a break because they are a woman or something, you can die. And I think that's, you know, one of the reasons why I didn't have any examples of, you know, females in chainmail bikinis. My examples were combat instructors that would break my nose if I took my eyes off of them. So, you know, I think that the combat in Mythborn, the book Mythborn, you know, really rings very, very true. At times it might even be comical, but it is dangerous nonetheless.
You're right. It is not very typical because we're accustomed, we're trained when we see the good guy in a movie, the good guy in a book, we know he's always going to win. He's always going to come out strong in any fight, you know, even if he's captured. We always know that because he's the good guy. But
he's the last action hero.
Right, he's the action hero. But here, we don't know who can win because you've just – it's a real world playing field. Anything can happen. Even if you're more knowledgeable or a better fighter, doesn't mean the other guy can't outmaneuver you somehow and take you.
That's right. And I think ultimately, you know, one of the things that the book does, I hope it does well, is it describes quick, fast, inside fighting moves that work. And here's a little funny, another sidebar. The first pass when I went through this, my publishers read it, and one of the people on the publishing team also is a trained martial artist. And he came back to me and said, hey, look, I love it. I get it. You're going to have to make some of this more vague because – it's too descriptive, and if someone tries to do these techniques, they'll kill someone.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I had to actually pull back on the writing and make it a little bit vague because they were telling me that I was basically writing a book on how to kill.
There's some in the audience, they want that book.
No, that wasn't my goal.
I got you. We have a couple minutes left. There's a couple things I really want to ask, and I've got a surprise question for you. But first, I want to know, because we talked about games earlier and Elder Scrolls and all that, is there a game in the works for Mythborn?
Absolutely. You know, I started production on a interactive storytelling game for Mythborn. The interactive storytelling game is similar to what you read back in the 80s when it was called Choose Your Own Adventure, where it would tell you, like, if you want to pick up the sword, turn to page 80. If you want to, you know, grab the gem, turn to page 90. And then you kept reading and you'd work your way through the book with your own sort of adventure. Well, the interactive storytelling platform, it works on an Amazon Alexa, it works on Google Talk, Google Home, and what you do is you ask, you know, you talk to your Alexa, and Alexa will tell you what happens, what the room sounds like, with a narrated author telling you the description, and then ask you choices, and you decide what you want to do, and Alexa sort of interactively storytells with you through the adventure, and I think that'll be a really cool product for everybody.
Conceptually or whatever, do you think this is something that will come out this year, next year, or
when?
So,
you know, in general, video game development, especially on a new platform like this, which is, you know, the Amazon Alexa, the Google Home products, the Apple, you know, Siri, they're all sort of tied to what the manufacturers are going to do in terms of different skills and different kinds of tools. So I'm a little bit lockstep with what's happening also on the Alexa that's not under my control. Normally, building a game like this would take, you know, a few months, and then testing it would take a month, and then it'd be out. So if all things went good, we'd be out, you know, by Christmas, I'm hoping. But, you know, I'm going to have to assume that some things aren't going to go the way that we plan. And so in my mind, I'm looking at probably an early 2019 release.
I got you. Well, when that comes out, Vijay, please circle back to me because I'd love to cover that as well in an interview.
Absolutely.
And now I got to ask you this. We talked about martial arts. We understand there's a lot of combat and fighting. Well, I say a lot. I don't know exactly, but there is some. Let's say that. But also, this book is heavy in magic, and it begs the question here, Vijay. I know you grew up in Asia, the land of magic and mysticism to some degree, so I have to ask the question, do you know any magic?
keeping my wife married to me is probably the best spell I've been able to succeed in. You know, certainly creating my kids is the kind of magic that I hope everyone has the benefit of, you know, having been blessed with.
Great answer, just so you know.
but you know, in all honesty, what I also didn't like about fantasy books was magic was this crutch that allowed, in some books, that allowed authors to solve the problem by just some kind of crazy spell, and then, you know, boom, it's all done, and you're safe, right? I mean, the question in Lord of the Rings is, why didn't they just, if they had an eagle that would fly them home from Mordor, why didn't they just put the ring on an eagle and drop it into the volcano? Why the long trek with dwarves and and all the whole fellowship?
Oh, so I know that because the eagle would have turned into a big monster and help rule the world. The eagle couldn't touch it.
You're
just
right.
Like Gandalf couldn't touch the ring either. It would destroy them and also several others. So, yeah.
You've schooled me. Actually, that's a good answer. That's a really good answer. And I'm a geek, and that's a good answer.
Oh, really? Well, it kind of just struck me as, like, obviously the eagle can't touch it or else it would destroy the eagle. But yeah, otherwise, you know.
Right. So I would give it to Frodo and put him on the back of an eagle and they just flew him there. But the point was,
hang him from a rope so the eagle doesn't touch the rope.
but what I did was actually a world that you think is fantasy, but in fact, the magic underlying the system is nanotechnology. And what you learn soon is that, you know, Mythborn is actually a sort of an onion that you have to sort of unpeel. But, you know, the world itself is the product of a crashed terraforming starship that its nanites got free. And in order to reconstitute its own mission objectives, it borrowed from the dreams of the colonists that were in hypersleep. And so the world of myths are born, and these myths have come to life and sort of filled the gaps that were missing from the technological records. And now imagine, you know, a million years have gone by, the world has evolved. Much of that original knowledge is gone, but the nanites aren't gone. They're still there. And the dreams haven't gone anywhere either. They're still there too. And you have a world now that actually follows the rules of science, but it feels like it's magic.
I like that. Very interesting. And you know, we're definitely going to have you back because there's so much I still want to ask, but I don't want to forget. And what's very important is your website is mythbornmedia.com. Is that right?
That's correct. M-Y-T-H BORNmedia.com. Oh, excuse me. And if you want to like us on Facebook, you can find us there. You can Instagram us on MythbornMedia.com. The book series is called Mythborn, so you can Google that. It's available on Amazon right now. Book 3 just launched. And it's a 5-book series, so I'm working hard on book 4. And the audiobook is going to come out next month. So actually, by the time this show comes out, the audiobook should be out. So, you know, I hope everyone has a chance to try it out. But certainly come to our website, like us on Facebook, like us on Instagram, and, you know, tweet us. And I'm happy to respond. I'm on Facebook Live every Thursday at 3 p.m. to talk about the book and about, you know, all the different things that go into writing this kind of world building fantasy epic.
Fantastic. And if somebody just goes to your site, is there a link there to buy the book at Amazon?
There is. It's okay. A buy now button.
Perfect. Okay. You heard that, Revenue Chat audience. Buy now. Get the book, because book 3 is coming out really soon. The audio is coming out, and you definitely want in on this, because I know there's some good stuff in there. He's going to give you some magic, and he's going to give you some great fighting techniques. And you're just going to have to figure out the kill moves, okay? And, oh, VJ, yep. If someone wants to contact you and reach out and say something, can they actually reach you at MythbornMedia.com?
Yes. Type, you know, V-I-J-A-Y at MythbornMedia.com, and you can reach me, you know, and I tend to respond. So if you're interested in reaching out, V-I-J-A-Y at MythbornMedia.com.
Love it, love it, love it. Thank you so much. What a great interview. I love this subject. I love this topic. I love speaking with authors and martial arts and everything else. Really great. Very stimulating. Thank you, VJ Lakshman, award-winning author of Mythborn. Again, that site is mythbornmedia.com. I just want to thank you so much for honoring us today with this interview.
Tony, it was really my pleasure. I'm just humbled to be on your show. I know what great guests you have, and you are a great interviewer, and I really appreciated the opportunity to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And again, the honor is mine. And all right. And thank you to everyone. We appreciate you listening, and stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. Our next episode is with Pinkus Taylor, The Mechanics of Positive Thinking. All right. Thanks again. And until next time, remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely.